Hello, Park City. This is Kurt Peterson with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services and Peterson Calder Real Estate Group. We're proud supporters of KPCW. For the daily snow report and local ski conditions, tune in to KPCW. And for local real estate and market conditions, experienceparkcity.com.
Don't miss this year's 19th Annual Leadership 101 program on Wednesday, February 3rd at the Marriott Hotel from 8:30 to 4:30. Leadership 101 is an insider's view on how things work and who does what. Whether you've been here a day or a lifetime, you'll learn something new and useful. The $35 registration fee covers lunch and breaks. Register and pay online at parkcity.org by clicking on Leadership 101 or by contacting Karen at 615-5186. Leadership Park City is a not-for-profit program and a KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to the Sundance Film Festival Reel
Sundance here on seventh annual Sundance Reel. We'll lose count.
Sundance Reel here. We are broadcasting live from Whole Foods Market on their Giving Day, and 5% of the net sales today will be given as a donation to KPCW Radio to support programs like this.
Thank you very much, Whole Foods.
So with us now, I guess, as I usually say, in the studio, but in the cafe, is Penny Lane. She is the director of the film Nuts, which is in the U.S. documentary competition. Penny was named one of Filmmaker Magazine's 25 new faces of independent film in 2012, and her debut feature documentary, Our Nixon, had its world premiere at the International Film Festival in Rotterdam. She also won the Ken Burns Award for Best of the Festival at the Ann Arbor Film Festival. So, Penny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So this is, when I started reading about this film, I immediately got a smile on my face. Give us a quick thumbnail sketch of what your film is about.
Sure. So first of all, Nuts has an exclamation point at the end of it.
Yes.
So you have to say it with extreme enthusiasm. Yes.
So how do you say it?
I say Nuts.
All right.
Yeah. So no, Nuts is a documentary. It's mostly animated. And it's about a doctor. I should probably say doctor in finger quotes, which your listeners can't see. Who in 1917 announces to the world that he's discovered a miracle cure for impotence, and it is the surgical transplantation of goat testicles, and that is the beginning of the movie.
That's starts out with a bang.
Yes, that's the sort of call to adventure. Yes.
And I'm already uncomfortable.
Sorry.
But that's okay. I will persevere here. That's astounding. Where did you find this guy?
Oh, like all great things, in the public library.
Okay. Yeah. So, thank you, the library.
Thank you, what's libraries. Yes. No, it was there was a book called Charlatan, written by a guy named Pope Rock in, I think, 2007. And I came across that book in a library just literally by chance and was mesmerized and thought, how has no one made a movie about this guy? I mean, because his life is so amazing and the arc of his life story is so incredible, and it's like sort of made for the movies. So, so I kind of committed to it pretty quickly, and it took about 8 years to make the film.
Wow, 8 years.
Yeah.
8 years.
Yeah, but I made Our Nixon in the middle, so,
okay.
You know.
An ongoing side project
that became
the front burner after a while.
Exactly.
So, all right, so he comes up with this cure for impotence. This transplanting of goat testicles that he figures that he must have done some testing or something. Maybe not. Maybe in that period of time there was lots of miracle cures that were out there, lots of things that were put forward as miracle cures, and this was just another one.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just like today.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, so what quack doctors do is they look around and they see what's in the real scientific and medical zeitgeist. Like right now, it's gene-targeted therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to go find out, you know, some quack doctor practices today, a lot of them are saying they're doing something called gene-targeted therapy. They're not. They've just heard about that in the New York Times,
right.
And they know that sounds impressive. At the time that Brinkley came up with his miracle cure, you know, hormones were kind of the new thing that people had figured out in science. You know, the person who discovered insulin won the Nobel Prize. People were really interested, but they didn't totally understand how it worked yet, but the understanding that hormones existed and that there were these glands in the human body and
right.
that they had something to do maybe with virility was hot, real science. So he just took that and kind of marketed something that sounded sciencey.
And he was pretty successful?
Oh, he was hugely successful. Tens of thousands of people had this surgery. It cost a lot of money. It cost $750 in around 1917, which I forget now how much that is in today's dollars. I think it's about $10,000.
Right. So five figures.
It was a lot. Yeah. And so he was hugely successful. And within a couple years,
he was doing the surgery.
He was doing the surgery, and I think he also had a staff. Right. It's kind of unclear what he was doing.
Didn't matter. He made a lot of money.
Tons of money.
And he went on to do all these other, this winding path of interesting things.
Yeah, his life is like a series of crazy inventions. You know, each one is sort of more insanely brilliant than the one before it. I mean, really, the goat testicle cure is the beginning of the story. I can't say that enough times. It's really the beginning. And then he builds, you know, an early radio station in Kansas. Mm. It's the fourth radio station in America. And it very quickly becomes the most popular radio station in America because he was really innovative in using the radio format. He sort of popularized country music very early on, mm-hmm. you know, and then he runs for governor of Kansas. I mean, he just like invents all this stuff and does all these amazing things. It's really quite an amazing story.
And so it's unusual that it's mostly animated because it's a documentary. Oh. So how does that fit in?
Well, you know, it's a historical story. I mostly work with history. And there's certain challenges with that, right? Like you can't put your character on camera because he's been dead for a long time.
he's not up for any interviews.
Exactly. Yeah, and you can't follow him around in his everyday life.
But there's footage of him.
There's tons of footage. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And I have a lot of great archival footage in the film. But the archival footage is mostly kind of staged or it's promotional. It's not intimate. You know, you don't get to know him as a person. So the animated reenactments came about because I needed a way to let you get to know him, to feel how seductive he is, to feel how confident and kind of cocky and brilliant he was, and to sort of like care about him as a person. And without that sort of ability that I got with the animated reenactments and the voice actor who plays him, you know, he really remains at a distance, and it's easier to sort of just think, what a weird historical oddity. And I didn't want that. I wanted you to really go on this journey with him. Mm-hmm. So that's where the animations came from.
How does that process work? How do you...
Slowly, painfully, expensively.
It took 8 years?
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years really were just the animation.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's slow. It's very slow. Because these are hand-drawn, you know, meticulous animations. They're not mass-produced. And I don't have a Pixar budget. So, you know, it's slow.
Right.
We just learned the term micro-budget from one of our past guests. So
I might have. I don't know what that means.
Under a million.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely in the micro-budget zone.
At least. Maybe sub-micro. So is there... Does the documentary have any type of, not to give too much of it away, but does it have a kind of a clash at any point, or does he get his comeuppance? Is there a rags to riches element to this? Or
absolutely, yeah.
Riches to rags back?
That's kind of why I was attracted to it, because his story is so kind of this, it's this beautiful 20th century American tragedy, you know? Okay. So this is a guy who's born on the side of a mountain in South Carolina with nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the most, you know, abject poverty you could imagine. And through his own genius and hard work and determination, he rises to the insane and crazy heights of fame, fortune, success. But he goes down very badly in the end.
Okay.
Yeah. So he spent, you know, I don't think that's much of a spoiler because, you know, it's history. So you can find it out on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, so kind of similarly to the last film I made, which was about Richard Nixon, you know, it's really his own hubris that takes him down in the end. And that's kind of part of what makes it such an incredible classical kind of tragedy.
Go ahead.
Because I guess are there consequences to those who get this transplant?
You'll have to watch the movie. Right. Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to show up for the screening for that. So I wanted to ask, you know, what... Was your process very different? You did Our Nixon, which is about such a well-known person. Everybody knows his name. Everybody knows a little bit about him. To somebody that nobody's heard of. How was that process different?
You know what's interesting about that is that these are my first two feature documentaries. And I would have thought at the beginning that it'd be harder to make the Nixon film because I would have said, well, there's a million Nixon films. No one's going to care.
Right.
Here's a new story that no one knows. That's not how the film industry works, actually. It was much, much, much easier to make the Nixon film because people are like, oh, I know what that is. That's interesting. with a film about a new subject, you actually have to convince people that it's interesting, which sort of feels backwards to me. Like, don't you want the new thing?
Yeah. Right.
But no, you want the old thing? Okay. Like, okay. So I actually intended to make this film first, and our Nixon was going to be second, but it was insanely easier to fund our Nixon than it was.
And that's
to
probably
fund
what a lot of it hinges on, is just finding the funding to make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah. That's most of my life.
We're speaking with Penny Lane. She's the director of Nuts. Documentary film in the U.S. documentary competition. First film at Sundance?
Yes. First time at Sundance.
First time?
Yeah. First time in Park City.
No,
welcome to town.
Thank you. It's really beautiful.
Yes. And really snowy this year.
Is that a joke? I don't
know. No. Actually, the last few years, it hasn't been. We've had much snow at this time. This year, we got socked with some storms. So
good.
You get
beautiful.
To see it. It's more natural state. Yeah. But... So, first time at Sundance, and when did you get accepted? When did you find out that the film was accepted?
Right before Thanksgiving, I got the phone call.
And was the film done by then?
Yeah, it was mostly done.
Right, because lots of times we talk to people who are still working.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm not in that position. That's very nice. The film was pretty much done in September. So, you know, I'm in optional extra credit land, not like up till midnight tonight finishing the movie
right
land.
Before it goes on
that
tomorrow.
You've heard that we've heard of there. Some people. So,
don't I look well rested? I feel very well rested.
Relaxed, you're cheerful. That's kind of an unusual look around.
Here. I know. I like it.
So I have to ask. The last sentence of your bio is, "And yes, Penny Lane is her real name."
Yes, I'm trying to save you some time
by asking about that. Yes.
So
wait, did you want me to say more
is
about
there a story? Is there a story?
No, I mean, I was born in 1978, so like, yes, my parents knew that it was a Beatles song. Lois was also on the table. I mean, it wasn't like they were massive Beatles fans. They were just like, thought that would
they
be cute.
They just liked the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this film, this type, are you looking at other individuals? Are you mining for other films like it or other individuals like this?
This will be the first two films in a trilogy that will all be about these kind of characters, like these 20th century kind of characters. I kind of feel like I'm a 20th century person, and I'm like sort of stuck there, and I just sort of want to stay there for a little while longer. And that time period is really interesting to me. People who were born around the turn of the 20th century and kind of have lives that map onto the historical kind of trajectory of America, I think I can't get enough of it. So I will have a third feature, not next year, or maybe, you know.
But perhaps something that blossomed out of the work you did for this film, finding other people at that time.
Yeah, and other characters who have that kind of blend of, you know, there's something where we love con men, or we love, like, kind of sociopaths, actually. Like, you know, this kind of, like, rags to riches, but, like, maybe there's an edge where what they're doing isn't actually good. But they're successful. In America, we kind of love those characters and love to spend time with them.
Kind of setting to the kind of the fraudulent nature of people at times.
Well, and what it takes to actually become super, super successful. And there's kind of a question there, like about whether anyone's ever, like, has anyone ever become president of the United States by being a super nice dude?
Right.
Like, I doubt it. With Nixon, we had all these tapes that showed what a not nice dude he was.
Right.
But, you know, we don't have those tapes for other presidents. My suspicion is that they're all kind of sociopaths.
We see a few of them running now.
Right. One or two.
I'll go there.
You can.
Yeah. That may be some characters for future.
Yeah, exactly.
For future.
Well, I'm excited to see what you come up with for your next film. I haven't even seen this one yet, but
and
all this talk.
When's its premiere?
It's tonight at 9 p.m. At Temple.
Oh, the Temple Theater.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it is nice. And then tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 p.m. at Redstone.
Right.
And there's a bunch more after that.
And there's four more after that around town.
Six screenings.
Yeah, man.
Are there tickets available still?
I think they're all sold out.
Oh, okay.
But I'm new to Sundance, so you guys might know better than me. I think maybe some get released at the last minute. I don't know how it works. But as far as I can tell, they're all sold out.
Hopefully you'll get in.
Oh, I have tickets. I was given tickets for free.
Oh, good for you.
Well, a couple of our past interviews have said if anybody has additional tickets to their films, they're looking to buy. So, you know, you never know what'll happen.
And there's a website.
Yeah.
Frankly.com.
That's right. Yeah.
To go see the trailer or so, or learn more about you
and
your works.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps And R. Nixon, too?
Yeah, rnixon.com. It's all there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool.
Well, Penny Lane, she's the director of Nuts.
With an exclamation point.
All caps. For obvious reasons. It's the documentary in the U.S. documentary competition. And we want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Yeah. And good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's take a... we've got a couple more minutes.
Yeah. Let's take a final break. We'll come back to wrap up.
And talk about some of the other films we've...
That's right.
So we'll leave it at that. We'll be right back after a couple of underwriters. You're listening to the Sundance Reel at Whole Foods at Kimball Junction. We'll be right back.
Wasatch and Will Yarns is the newest sponsor of KPCW's Classified Show. We offer yarns from Noro, Blue Sky Alpaca, Jade Sapphire, Classic Elite, and more, along with knitting classes for all abilities, knitting accessories, and weekly knit nights. Located at the Redstone Shopping Center, wasatchandwool.com.
Local programming on KPCW is brought to you by a generous grant from Summit County Raptax. Recreation, Arts, and Parks Cultural Grant supports organizations that enrich the overall quality of life for residents throughout the county. Support for KPCW comes from Whole Foods Market, celebrating KPCW Friday, January 23rd. Stop by to meet Chris Cherniak and Nell Larson from This Green Earth as they interview filmmakers at this year's festival on the Sundance Reel at kpcw.org.
Welcome back to the Sundance Reel, KPCW's live two-hour presentation or interviews with directors and producers of various Sundance films. We've been down here at Whole Foods at Kimball Junction for the last couple hours, and the reason that we're here is because it's 5% Giving Day. So that 5% of the net proceeds that Whole Foods generates today through your purchases will go to KPCW and help support KPCW and all its wonderful programming, including public affairs hours programming, et cetera.
That's right. Things like this.
So we got a last couple of minutes. We're going to thank again our all of the folks who joined us. But every year we seem to luck out and we get some great interviews with some great films who go on to win awards.
That's right.
And we went through and look at the people we've talked to. We've been fortunate enough to speak back in 2009 to Luis Ahoyos, who directed The Cove. That's a great documentary.
Yeah.
Tim Hetherington, the late Tim Hetherington, unfortunately, and Seb Unger of Restrepo are here. Project Nim. Jeff Orlowski, the director
right.
of Chasing Ice.
2012 was a banner year
yeah,
with Jeff Orlowski, Chasing Ice, The Queen of Versailles, Malik Benjalul from Searching for Sugar Man, and The Short Fishing Without
I
Nets.
I love that short.
It was like, I think, was that everybody that we interviewed won that year?
Just about. And actually, Fishing Without Nets went on to become a full-length film the next year or two. And then 2013, we have Ryan Coogler was here with Fruitvale. The Secretary of Labor, Robert Reich, was here with Inequality for All.
And then in 2014, Alive Inside, we spoke with the director, Michael Rosato Bennett, about his film about using music to connect with older people in nursing homes.
And Alzheimer's patients. Mm-hmm. And finally, last year, we were fortunate enough to speak with Jerry Rothwell, who is the director of How to Change the World, a story about the founding of Greenpeace. And Meru.
That's right.
Jimmy Chin and his wife, Elizabeth Chai Vassarelli.
And there's still a lot of buzz about that film.
Because it's still
yeah,
really good.
Because it's still a great film.
So we just say that.
Yeah,
say,
best of luck to everyone we spoke
winners.
To today.
And so now let's thank the people we spoke to today.
Yeah. That's right. And first we'll thank Beth Fratkin for booking these wonderful interviews on the show today.
I guess Beth is part of that.
Yeah, maybe she's got the magic touch.
Yes.
Maybe.
Well, we want to thank Josh Fox. He's the director of the U.S. documentary. Or the documentary in the U.S. competition, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change.
We want to thank Heidi Brandenburg and Matthew Orzel, the directors of the world documentary When Two Worlds Collide.
J.D. Dillard and Eric Fleischman, director and producer of the film Slight. And
Otto Bell, the director of The Eagle Huntress.
That looks like a fascinating
yes.
film. And finally, Penny Lane. She's the director of the documentary in the U.S. Category. Nuts.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we want to thank again all of those folks for taking the time to come here and talk to us. And, of course, we want to thank Mark Miller Subaru. Love the experience at markmillersubaru.com. Again, thanks for joining us here at the Sundance Reel. That's it.
That's right. Until next year.
And we'll be podcasting this show, and you can see a replay on the website, kpcw.org. Thanks again for joining us. We'll take it back to the studio, a couple more underwriters, and NPR News is coming up. Thanks.
Big thank you to Chris and Nell for the Sundance Reel. Listen to the Sundance Reel tomorrow with our own Rick Bruff to continue all things about Sundance. You are listening to KPCW Park City at 91.9 and 88.1 FM across the Wasatch Back. We're also streaming live on kpcw.org and on the NPR Stitcher and TuneIn apps. National Public Radio News coming your way.